allusions that I would like to make. Allusion number one is that there is a phenomenon that has transpired, and one of the women of our community has left this world to go in the next world or the next realm of existence. One of the very important things that all of us should declare to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that verily, O Allah, we do not know from her except khair. La na'lamu minha illa khaira. And if 40 people do that, then you will give her very good rest in qabr and beyond that. So all of us, let us make a point to say this, Allahumma inna la na'lamu minha illa khaira. This is number one. The second allusion that I would like to make is about Laylatul Qadr. And that is one of the points that we have not mentioned, and it is very important, is this, that people tend to ask that in the night of Qadr, should we do our a'mal all together in a gathering, or should we do it alone? This is one question that is asked, because sometimes some people say that if you do it in a gathering, then there is more thawab, because some people, when they do dua, their dua is accepted, and then Allah accepts all the dua. So there is a question here, that should we do it all together in one jam'ah, in a gathering, or should we do it at home? Sayyid Radiyuddin bin Tawus, who is one of the great Shia ulama and Shia saints as well, and he was so powerful that whenever anything which was haram would come near him, he could see the batin of that thing, and he would know this is haram or halal and so on. Very powerful alim with very good books to his credit. He says that the important thing is to look at yourself. Sometimes if you are in a gathering, you cannot concentrate, you don't have that state of attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can't express what is from your heart. Therefore, if that is the case, then it is better for us to do it alone, at home. But if we have a better state while we are all together, and we can pay attention, we can express our sorrows to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while we are in a gathering, then it is better to do our a'mal in a gathering in Laylatul Qadr. And you know, when it comes to the society and the people around us, that you know, what will people say that if I don't come in the night of Laylatul Qadr in the mosque, don't worry about that, because this is your destination that you are trying to form. The whole year will depend on what you have done that night, isn't it? So it is important for us to see, to gauge ourselves, that if we stay at home and do our a'mal, do we have more concentration? And we can really express our sorrow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because, you see, if you look at some of the supplications, what we ask from Allah is to be in afdali halin fi tilka al-layla, the best of states we can ever have that night. So it is better for us to now think over this, that is it better for us to be alone and pray alone? That is better for us, or to be in a gathering? This is something that I wanted to mention. And now I hope it's clear. And this is what Sayyid Radiyuddin bin Tawus says. And of course, his statement is very powerful if you go and take it into serious consideration. The gist of the supplications of the holy month of Ramadan, inshallah, today we will start the gist of the supplications. Yesterday it was just an introduction of dua and the conditions of dua and so on. But inshallah, today we'll look at some of the things that we recurrently ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the various du'as. One of the very famous du'as that we recite is this, Ya Aliyu, Ya Azeem, Ya Ghafuru, Ya Rahim, Anta Ar-Rabbul Azeem, Alladhi Laysa Kamithlihi Shay. Whenever you have any sickness, will you say Ya Jawad? You will not say Ya Jawad, you say Ya Shafi, isn't it? Because you have a sickness. Whenever you don't have wealth, would you say, for example, Ya Alim? You don't say Ya Alim. You say Ya Ghani. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is affluent. So according to your need, you will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we are saying Ya Aliyu, Ya Azim, we are asking for two important sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are saying, O Allah, our state is dani, we are very base and low in character. You elevate us. That's why we are saying Ya Ali, because Ali is a person who is high. See, the word Ali is so beautiful in Arabic because it has two connotations. One is, it shows abundance, extremely high, and one, perpetuity, always extremely high. So when we say Ya Ali, then we should have this in mind, that we are asking for an elevated status. And that is what the human being is. You look at those verses of the Holy Quran, that Rabbi hismikal a'la alladhi khalaqa fasawwa sabbih hisma rabbikal a'la, that is, glorify the name of your Lord who is extremely high, a'la alladhi khalaqa fasawwa. You know, when this name comes and then khalaqa comes, that means that whatever he created elevated, he created high. When he created the human being, he created the human being high. Ar-Rahman, allama al-Qur'an, khalaqa al-insan. We say Ar-Rahman, allama al-Qur'an, yani Ar-Rahman, allama al-Qur'an. Ar-Rahman, khalaqa al-insan. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mortified and created the human being to have all comprehensive mercy. This is the human being. So, سَبِّحْ حِسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى. That means, O human being, note that you have been created by an elevated being, and therefore you have been created elevated, أَشْرَفُ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ. Therefore, when you say, Ya Aliyu, you want that state of ulu. Now, I'll give you an example of practicality, you know, that when you say that we want highness, what do we mean? See, when we talk that, when you say that Allah is high, in reality we are saying that Allah is the person who has primary existence. That is, that He, in the hierarchy of existence, He is the first. Huwa al-awwal. When we say Huwa al-awwal, Ya awwal al-awwaleen. What do we mean by awwal al-awwaleen? That in the hierarchy of existence, in the chain of existence, the first one who was, is, and will be is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter everything comes. And that is why He is Ali. So we say, Ya Aliyu. In reality, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those attributes that make us higher. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His prophets and through His imams, has mentioned something very important for us to ponder upon. He says that Allah always loves the upper hand than the lower hand. Allah always loves the upper hand than the lower hand. That means that He always loves the giver than the taker. Something very important. So when we say that we want to go higher, we should try to get the upper hand always. So we should, if we want to get that ulu, then we should be teachers. Obviously, you first learn and then you teach. You have to go from the lower stages, then you go to the higher stages. So if you want ulu, then you go through being a student and then a teacher. You go through being, for example, a beggar from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then a giver to the mu'mineen who are needy, for example. Who, you become a facilitated one and then you become one who facilitates. So this is the reality of ulu. When a person is high, he gives. He doesn't take. It is torturous for him to take. But to give, it is something extremely enjoyable. You know, this makes me remember some very important points with regard to sadaqah. Whenever we give sadaqah, recite a salawat please. We always anticipate something. Either, Allahumma, I'm giving this sadaqah لِدَفْعِ الْبَلَايَا, that all these bala and all these calamities go. Or, Allahumma, I'm giving this sadaqah. You see, we are told by Imam Ali alayhi salam, Allahumma, إِذَا أَمْلَقْتُمْ فَتَاجِرُ اللَّهِ بِالصَّدَقَةِ. Beautiful hadith. When you become poor, then do business with Allah by giving sadaqah. This is a dictum of Imam Ali alayhi salam. إِذَا أَمْلَقْتُمْ فَتَاجِرُ اللَّهِ بِالصَّدَقَةِ. Obviously, this is a lower stage. Imam Ali alayhi salam also gives a higher stage in Najul Balagha, but that we don't want to discuss now. Sometimes it so happens that you give and you enjoy giving. That's something very important. That means you don't anticipate anything. If you don't give, you feel it, that I wish I would have given. See, sometimes it's not something which you say that, okay, alhamdulillah, God gave me the tawfiq. Obviously Allah gave you tawfiq of doing good. But then just the giving is pleasurable. You see, when you eat ice cream, it's pleasurable, isn't it? Sometimes giving is pleasurable more than ice cream, for example. Why? Because that thing is something that you love. You have become, you have that sifa of jud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have the upper hand. And that's what we are asking. Ya Ali, Ya Azim. Ali means that, Azim means one who is extremely great. Now with regard to Allah, because His sifat are infinite, there is no end to the sifat of Allah. Therefore the greatness is also infinite. Therefore we are asking that, O Allah, if you have given me ilm, then Rabbi zidni ilman wa alhikni bis-salihin. I have knowledge, but I want more knowledge. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches the Holy Prophet, قُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Although you are in the highest stage, أَعْلَى السَّمَاءِ سَمَى مُحَمَّدٍ. It's a beautiful poem that some of the Arabs have recited. أَعْلَى السَّمَاءِ سَمَى مُحَمَّدٍ. The Holy Prophet went to the highest peak. أَعْلَى السَّمَاءِ سَمَى مُحَمَّدٍ. جِبْرِيلُ قَالَ لَهُ تَقَدَّمْ. A time came when Jibreel said that, now I cannot go further. You go, because you have the power of going. لَوْ دَنَوْتُ أَنْ مُلَةً لَحْتَرَقْتُ. If I go a bit, one step more, أَنْ مُلَةً لَحْتَرَقْتُ, I would burn. Because, so this shows that the Prophet was very high in knowledge and in status. But despite that, the Holy Prophet is told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ رَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. That means there is no end to knowledge. The more knowledge you have, the more knowledge there is, because you are talking to an infinite knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reality is infinite knowledge. Say the salawat, please. So in short, you know, we should have this high ambition when we say, Ya Aliyu, Ya Azim, Allahu Akbar. You know, just look at these du'as. Every day of the holy month of Ramadan, we are told to say, Ya Aliyu, Ya Azim. Just think about it. Allah loves us so much. The Aimma alayhimu salam love us so much that they're teaching us that we should have high ambitions, elevated ambitions. Not things which are very dunu, which are very low in status, but high ambitions. During the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, before him being sent as a Prophet of Allah, it so happened that once he went to a certain place known as Ta'if. You must be knowing that place, the name of that place. He went there and there was a person who hosted him very well for about 1 or 2 days. And then he returned from Ta'if. After some time, he was chosen as a messenger of Allah. So a person who had seen that this person in Ta'if had hosted the Prophet, said that, you know, who has become the king of Makkah and Medina? The person said, no, that same Muhammad who had come, and you had hosted him very well. Now go and tell him, he might give you something. So this person was not yet a Muslim. He went to the Prophet and he also declared that, you know, he believes in the Prophet and Allah is one. He mentioned all these things to the Prophet. And then he said to the Prophet, do you know who I am? So the Prophet knew, obviously, but he said, who are you? So he said, you know, it's that person who hosted you when you came in Ta'if. Said, aha, okay. So the Prophet knew what he wanted. So he said, what do you want? Because the Prophet knew the reason why he came to him was he wanted something. He said, what do you want? He said, I want about 200 sheep and their tenders. And the Prophet at that time was with his companions. So he ordered that the sheep and the tenders be given to the person. And then he, addressing the companions, said, "I wish this man had asked me what that old lady had asked Prophet Musa, salamullah alayhi." So the companion said that, what lady are you talking about? What did she ask? So he said, you see, at the time of Prophet Musa, ala nabiyyina wa alihi alayhi salam, it so happened that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordered Prophet Musa to take some belongings of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam from Misr, as he was coming out from Misr, because obviously Fir'aun was after them. So before he came out, he had to collect those things of Nabi Yusuf, salamullah alayhi. And he was told that there is an old woman who knows where the place is, where these things are buried. So he went to that old woman and said that, "Can you show me the place so that I can take those things?" The woman said, "No, I'll not show you unless you give me what I want." So Prophet Musa, salamullah alayhi, said, "Lakil Jannah, lakil Jannah. The most you can get is Jannah, isn't it? I'll give you." She said, "No, I want what I want. If you tell yes, then I'll show you." So at that time Prophet Musa is perplexed. He says, "Now what does she want really?" And at that time Allah reveals unto Musa, "Tell her whatever she wants, she will get it. So don't be afraid of it." So Prophet Musa, salamullah alayhi, says, "No problem. Okay, whatever you want, you will get it. But tell me, what did you really want? What do you really want?" You know what she says? "Uridu an akuna ma'aka fi darajatika fil jannah." I want to be with you in your daraja in Jannah. Now this is what is an elevated spirit, you know. She just doesn't want Jannah. She wants Jannatul Liqa, that Jannah to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something, you know, what we call high, elevated aspiration. That's what we should ask. Ya Aliyu, Ya Azeem, Ya Ghafuru, Ya Rahim. If you start asking for paradise and the beautiful things in paradise, then you have still not gone from the animalistic mood. Because everything that you will get in paradise is because of what you wanted of your of the thimar, fruits and hurul ain and the palaces and ghilman and so on. I don't say this is wrong. No, we are told also to ask for that. This also has a spiritual significance in the hereafter. It's not like the material things that we eat and we enjoy here. No, it's something which is metaphysical and higher. But then we are told that you are higher than that. When you ask, Ya Ali, Ya Azeem, you should be like this woman. Asking for that daraja. And that is why if you look at our du'as, we ask for that. For example, in Ziyarat Ashura, we say that, "Oh Allah, make me with Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam, fi dunya wal akhirah." Allah, salli alayhi. "Oh Allah, make me with him in this world and in the hereafter." That means that in this world, I try to imbue his characteristics. I try to assimilate his characteristics so that I can be a Husseini in this world. And in the hereafter, I want his company. And in many of the traditions and du'as, we find this. Like that beautiful tradition that I mentioned earlier, that we are told by Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. That اقرأوا سورة الحسين. Ajib, this Surah Al-Fajr is known as Surah Al-Hussein. Because of what the surah has at the end. يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّ إِرْجِعِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَّةً فَادْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَادْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. That Jannatul Liqa. And then you are told that whosoever recites this in his prayer, in his fara'id, then he is going to be with Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam in the hereafter. That means obviously, you see, when recitation comes, there is a very beautiful hadith that is worthy of contemplation. when we talk about qira'ah, many of us think it's just vocalization. But there is a very beautiful hadith that on the Day of Judgment, the reciter of the Qur'an, يُقَالُ لِقَارِئِ الْقُرْآنِ اِقْرَأْ وَرْقَ. That means that reciter of the Holy Qur'an will be told that read the way you would read in dunya and ascend. Because every ayah that you read should make you ascend. If it doesn't make you ascend, then you have not read the ayah. So this is the principle given by the ulama, that recitation, obviously we have stages of recitation. That recitation which behooves of us is this kind of recitation, that read and ascend. Iqra warqa. Par anichar. That's the thing. If that doesn't transpire, then we know that we have just vocalized and we have just read. Obviously, even this stage of just reading the Quran without any understanding the meaning is beneficial for us. Why? Because we have the wilaya of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Rest assured that without that wilaya, nothing can be accepted. Nothing, totally. Whatever you do, however much, obviously the meaning of wilaya will come in one of the lectures. What is this meaning of wilaya? We try to think that it's just a kind of evanescent pull and evanescent hub in our heart. It's not that. The true meaning of wilaya, inshallah, of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam, inshallah, will come. But then the most important thing is this, that if there is no wilaya and following of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, then these ibadat are of no use. You remember, I had given you one incident of the Khawarij. I give you another incident worthy of contemplation. Once it so happened that, you see, when the battle of Siffin finished, the battle of Nahrawan came to transpire. Jundub, who was one of the companions of Imam Ali alayhi salam, came to the ranks of the Nahrawaniyun, those people who are Khawarij. And when he saw them, this is his ta'bir, this is his expression, lahum dawiyun kadawiyin nahal. They had the sound of buzzing as the buzzing of the bees, humming as the humming of bees. The whole environment was surrounded by recitation of the Qur'an. Some of them were in the state of ruku. And when you would look at their faces, it was full of the mark of mohr because of a lot of frustration and so on. So he said, when I saw these people continuously reciting Qur'an, it shook me. And I thought that perhaps we are in the wrong path because we are going to fight against them. So he said, تَنَحَّيْتُ جَانِبًا. I came out at a side and I started supplicating to Allah and saying, oh Allah, if these people are right, then enable me not to fight against them. And then suddenly Imam Ali alayhi salam comes in the horse of the Holy Prophet. And he tells Jundub that, you know what will happen? He tells him everything. This will happen and that will happen. And exactly Jundub witnesses what Imam Ali alayhi salam says. First, Imam Ali alayhi salam says that who will go and give the message to them that they should not fight, they should be invited towards the Holy Quran and Sunnah of the Holy Prophet. So a youth wakes up and says, I'm going to go, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, sit down, you are young. Whosoever will go will die 100%. He is going to be killed. Who wants to go? The same youth wakes up. When Imam Ali alayhi salam sees that this youth now is having a high aspiration for getting martyrdom, he says, okay, no problem, go. And when he goes with that Quran and says that I invite you to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet, these Nahrawaniyun, the Khawarij, start running arrows at him so much so that the ta'bir, the expression in riwayat is جَاءَ وَهُوَ كَالْقُنْفُذُ, like the porcupine, you know, full of arrows. He was in such a state that so many arrows had hit on him that he was full of arrows. As he was reaching the camps of Imam Ali alayhi salam, he passed away. Jundub says that when I saw this scenario, that shock that came in my heart came out. And I came to realize who these people were. They had no knowledge of what they were doing. Whatever Quran they were reciting, whatever ibadat they were doing was completely nothing. Without the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, this is nothing. But if a person recites Quran and doesn't know the meaning because of some limitations, but has the wilayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, there will be effects. But that is not the purpose of Quran. The purpose of Quran is to understand the meaning and epitomize ourselves so that we can grow higher in perfection. Recite the salawat, please. Or at the time of Nabi Dawood alayhi salam, what happens is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Nabi Dawood, O Dawood, there is a woman who is going to be in, who is in your stage in heaven. So Nabi Dawood alayhi salam is perplexed, says, who is this woman? And then he is taken to that woman, he goes to her and says, just observes the woman and says, sees what she is doing. And he sees that she is doing as another woman is doing, the normal, you know, cooking and cleaning and preparation and all that. So he asks the woman that, what is in you that makes you so perfect? Because this is what I heard. She said, nothing. This is what I do. He said, no, I want you to think. What do you think? What are your reflections? She says, actually, whatever stage Allah brings me into, whether it is bala or raha, whether it is ease or difficulty, I am happy with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. And Nabi Dawood salamullah alayhi says, Husnu dhanniki made you what you are. Because of your optimism about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you came to be so high that you are going to share my stage in the heaven. Can you imagine? This is the thing. So a person should really aspire for that high station when he says, Ya Aliyu, Ya Azim. Another very important dua that we always recite in the holy month of Ramadan, in very many supplications, is a release from hellfire. فُكَّ رَقَبَتِي مِنَ النَّارِ وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ أُتَقَائِكَ مِنَ النَّارِ خَلِّصْنَا مِنَ النَّارِ يَا رَبِّ. So many supplications you will find that what we ask is a release from hellfire. As I said, that we, those sinners who sin are always in hellfire, but they don't realize the reality. There is a hadith that tells us a flash of what is the reality. The tip of the iceberg. Once the Holy Prophet was sitting in the mosque, and suddenly him and his companions, they heard a very huge noise, as if a wall has fallen down. So the Prophet says to the companions, that, do you know what this voice is? Do you know what this sound is? The companions say, no. The Prophet said that there was a stone that was falling in Jahannam, and now it has reached its bottom. And this is the voice of that stone which has fallen down. And after some moments, they hear that in the neighborhood, a 70-year-old munafiq has died. So the companions come to realize that that stone which was falling in Jahannam for 70 years and now has reached its depth is that munafiq who was continuing with his nifaq for all these years, and now he has reached Jahannam because he's died. This is the reality, that there are some people who are falling in hellfire or soaring towards paradise, but they don't realize. And the Quran is explicit with this. The Holy Quran says, الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا وَسَيَسْلَوْنَ صَعِيرًا. Verily those people who eat the wealth of orphans out of oppression, they are only eating hellfire. إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. They are ingesting fire in their bellies. Now this is not metaphoric. We try to think metaphorically, but great scholars like Mullah Sadra and others say that don't take these things metaphorically. Allah is not giving you metaphors in the Holy Quran. He's giving you the reality. الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. Or that verse that we mentioned, that of ghiba, that a person, when he does ghiba, literally he's eating the flesh of his dead brother, but he doesn't realize. But when he comes in barzakh, he realizes that this is what he is doing in reality. Therefore, always we should ask for the release of hellfire. And in another hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 1,000 utaqa, those who are released from hellfire every night of the holy month of Ramadan. Therefore, we should always aspire. This is one of the supplications we recite in the holy month of Ramadan in different du'as. Another very important supplication that we recite in the holy month of Ramadan is that to give us that spirit of rahmah, you know. You see, even in du'a al-sahar, which is known as du'a al-baha, we say, "Oh Allah, we want that rahmat of yours, which is the most vast." And every rahmat of yours is vast. We say that. Why? Because we need that spirit of being selfless. So much so that, you see, the Holy Prophet, Imam Khomeini tells us in one of the very beautiful traditions, he says that there is a dictum of the Holy Prophet where he says, "Ma uziya nabiyun kama uzitu." No prophet was tormented the way I was tormented. "Ma uziya nabiyun kama uzitu." So sometimes you try to wonder that if it is true that no prophet was tormented the way the Holy Prophet was tormented, then what about Nabi Zakariya salamullah alayhi, that when he went and hid inside a tree, they took a saw, and at that time they didn't have these machinery to get a very sharp-edged saw. They made sure that they cut Nabi Zakariya into two by a saw slowly, the way they cut. Can you imagine the pain a person undergoes? Despite that, you find the Holy Prophet saying, "Ma uziya nabiyun kama uzitu." What is this pain and torment that the Prophet is talking about? Then Imam Khomeini says, this is according to his understanding of this, the kernel of this. He says, because the Prophet had reached the highest station of perfection, and he wanted each and every person to reach that station. And because they did not reach that station, it was torturing him so much that he said, "Ma uziya nabiyun kama uzitu." And that is why you find that in different places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Holy Prophet, for example, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. It is as if you are going to kill yourself out of grief because these people do not believe in the truth. So this is one of the things that we want to go higher. We want to become selfless in the holy month of Ramadan. We want to take care of other people. If other people are in problem, we feel it. Not that, you know, alhamdulillah, I've eaten my iftar, now sari is remaining, or I've done this, now these du'as are remaining, alhamdulillah. Maru badu pati gyuche. No, it's not like that. Let's see, the others are also benefited or not. What are the problems of other people? Are they at ease in the holy month of Ramadan? How can we be helpful to them? This is that spirit of a mu'min. That is why in another hadith, we are told, al-mu'minu jama'ah. That a mu'min is a whole group in himself. Because he thinks that way. A question, a very important question is asked that, you know, why does Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, why does he ask in Du'a Abu Hamza things which he does not do? Like, you see, that I am the one who sinned, for example. I am the one, for example, who went to the Majalisul Battalin. Majalisul Battalin, those people who waste their time and just start smoking and speaking and talking, and the whole night they are just speaking on different things. They don't know what they are, where they started, where they ended, just because they want to pass their time. So how can Imam say that I am in that group? Oh Allah, forgive me. And many other things. You just read Du'a Abu Hamza. Some people say, no, this Imam was teaching us how to recite the supplication. But this is incorrect. The ulama, the great ulama, said, no, this is not correct. It's not that the Imam was teaching us how to do Du'a. No, he was doing Du'a. But the Imam sees that he is united with each and every member of the Shia community and the Ummah. And he considers their sins as his sins, although he is infallible. And therefore when he is crying for us. That's what Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam was doing. So when we also do dua, we should take care of other people also, so that we can benefit them and they can benefit us inshaAllah. One of the very important things that we have not realized is that we have always considered the incident of Ashura as a tragedy, as I told you. One of the saints, Rumi, again in his Masnavi, mentions a very beautiful incident worthy of contemplation. He says that a person came to Halab and he saw that the people in Halab were crying that day. The whole day they were mourning. And he asked a person there that, why are you crying today? And the person gets astonished and says, you don't have shame? You don't know what day is it today? It's the day of Ashura. It's the day when Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam was martyred. Why shouldn't we cry? So that person says then, in fact, this is a happy day then. Because what Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam did and his companions was such that it elevated them so much that you cannot express. They went to the highest of stations. This is what Masnavi mentions. This is when a person goes from this world and reaches the proximity of Allah and realizes that there is nothing except Allah. This is the first journey. But in the fourth journey, the human being has connection to Allah and to the creation. So sometimes he is crying out of happiness because of seeing the stations that Imam Hussein alayhi salam met, and sometimes he is crying out of sorrow because of the tragedy that transpired in this plains of Karbala. That's why you find that Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, Allahumma sallam, says that however near the time of the death of Imam Hussein alayhi salam got, Imam Hussein alayhi salam would become more effulgent and more happy. It was surprising that the time of death became near, Imam Hussein alayhi salam was seen in such a way that he became more and more effulgent and happy. That state of rida of that we are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anticipates from us. This is that other dimension that Imam Hussein alayhi salam was visioning. And that is why the Holy Prophet also tells him, "Inna laka la darajatun la yanaluha ahadun min al makhluqin." That you have a daraja, a station near Allah that no one would attain. No one among the creatures can attain. And that is that sacrifice that you will do and what you will get. So this is one of the dimensions. So there are two dimensions of Karbala. One is pure beauty and love. And that is why you find that when Ibn Ziyad, La'anatullah alayhi, comes in his darbar and in a very bad way says, tells Bibi Zainab salamullah alayha that كَيْفَ رَأَيْتِ صُنَ اللَّهِ بِكِ وَبِأَخِيكِ وَبِأَهْلِ بَيْتِكِ. How did you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deal with you and your brother and your Ahlul Bayt? You know what she says? She says, مَا رَأَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا. I only saw beauty. Now that was the higher realm. That was that other part of Ashura. And that is why Sayyid Radiyuddin bin Tawus says in his book, Al-Luhuf ala Qatl al-Tufuf, which is a very powerful and a very genuine and authoritative maqtal of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He says that if you are not told by the A'imma alayhi salam to be grieved in this day and to wear black clothes, and if it was not because of what we missed on that day, because what they attained, we could not attain. They had the highest position of shahada. And then he mentions about 3-4 reasons. He said, if it was not because of that, or if it was not for that, لَلَبِسْنَا لِبَاسَ الْفَرَحِ we would have clad in clothes of happiness because of what Imam Hussein alayhi salam attained on that day. So this is like a coin which has two dimensions. One dimension is grief and sorrow that we have to have so that we can get near to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and because of what transpired in this world, material world. And the other is only ecstasy. That is why one of the companions of Allama Tabatabai, known as Sayyid Haddad al-Musawi, when he was in the first journey going towards Allah and had reached a position, on the day of Ashura, he was seen to be, his face to become very red, and he was extremely happy and crying out of happiness. This is when he was still in the first journey. When he was in the fourth journey, he would be seen sometimes crying out of sorrow because of what happened to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the tragedy of Karbala, and sometimes so happy because of what Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his companions met on that day. But you know, when a person covers the four journeys, he realizes that he has to be with the creation and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. When he is with the creation, he incessantly cries. And that's what you find that Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam is reported to have done throughout his life after the tragedy of Karbala. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam narrates, أن زين العابدين بكى على أبيه أربعين سنة. That Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam wept for his father 40 years. صائما نهاره قائما ليله. While he was fasting during the day and standing in prayer during the night. فإذا حضر الإفطار جاء غلامه بطعامه وشرابه فيضعه بين يديه فيقول كل يا مولاي فيقول قتل ابن رسول الله جائعا قتل ابن رسول الله عطشانا. And when iftar is brought near him by one of his slaves and the food and drink is brought near him, he would say that قتل ابن رسول الله, that the son of the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was killed while in the state of hunger. قتل ابن رسول الله عطشانا, that the son of the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was killed while he was thirsty. فلا يزال يكرر ذلك ويبكي, and he would continue saying this حتى يبل طعامه بدموعه, until his food would be getting wet because of the tears that would come. وَيُمْزَجُ شَرَابُهُ بِدُمُوعِهِ, and his drink would mix with the tears that would come out from him. فَلَمْ يَزَلْ كَذَلِكَ حَتَّى لَحِقَ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, and this would continue until he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَلَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ.